The Public News Service Daily Newscast for January the 22nd, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. President Joe Biden made the Keystone XL pipeline one of his top priorities on his first day in office, issuing an executive order to revoke the controversial project's permit. We get more from Eric Tegenhoff.
The pipeline aimed to deliver 800,000 gallons per day of Alberta tar sands through Montana on its way to Louisiana and Texas. Bill Whitehead is chairman of the Assiniboine and Sioux Rural Water Supply System in northeastern Montana. He says it's been a long-fought battle with many ups and downs.
It was looking tough at different times. It looks like we may prevail, but never let your guard down. Canada still wanting to fight it out, you know, as well as other corporate entities.
Whitehead says he was concerned about the pipeline leaking because the local water system was not designed to process tar sands. TC Energy, the company behind Keystone XL, says Biden's decision will result in the loss of thousands of jobs.
The Dakota Access Pipeline began operating in 2017. On his first day in office, Biden also rejoined the Paris Climate Agreement. NBC News is reporting that Dr. Anthony Fauci now feels free to speak honestly about COVID-19 now that former President Donald Trump is out of office. In his first news briefing since President Joe Biden was sworn in, Fauci said the new administration was committed to being completely transparent, open, and honest. NBC News notes that's a sharp break from the Trump White House when Fauci said he often felt there would be repercussions for speaking honestly about the pandemic. They quote Fauci as saying it was clear there were things said regarding things like hydroxychloroquine and other things like that that really wasn't comfortable because they were not in scientific fact. And some community health advocates say that COVID-19 vaccine is as big a problem as distrust of the process in Black communities.
Black Americans are receiving COVID vaccinations at dramatically lower rates than whites, according to Kaiser Health News. And Florida's vaccine tracking website shows 58,540 black people have received at least one dose compared to almost 749,000 whites. Mistrust rooted in structural racism is one cause of the low inoculation rates, but another is access, says Deborah Austin. She's with Reach Up, a group that's launched vigorous education campaigns and vaccine drives.
And so that's very disconcerting to us because we've educated people. We've been able to dispel the mistrust and the discomfort, and now they just can't get the vaccine.
I'm Tramell Gomes.
As of Thursday, Florida had distributed 2.5 million doses of vaccines and administered about 1.3 million of them. This is PNS. As an estimated 213,000 families in Pennsylvania face possible eviction, civil rights advocates say President Biden's executive order extending the moratorium on evictions is a good start, but Congress could do more to protect tenants who fall behind on rent because of the pandemic.
The moratorium was set to expire at the end of this month on evictions from federally assisted or financed properties and on foreclosures on federally guaranteed mortgages, but the executive order extends it through the end of March. Ian Thompson with the ACLU says it needs to be expanded to cover all tenants and for the duration of the pandemic.
We also need requirements put in place on landlords to make sure that they are not violating these important protections.
He adds that Congress needs to have emergency rental assistance in place before the moratorium is lifted. Some landlords have already challenged the constitutionality of the federal moratorium in court. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
Meantime, the nation is at a turning point with a new push for unity. Some groups say changing our food system is one crucial step in addressing the divide.
Executive Director of the Heal Food Alliance, Naveen Agana, says the combination of COVID-19, the climate crisis, and political unrest has illuminated the food system's vulnerability in times of crisis. And she explains that disinvestment from majority black neighborhoods, lack of access to land, and weak labor laws have fueled inequities.
For many of our communities who are most negatively impacted by the food system, that's been the case for hundreds of years. Black, Indigenous, and other people of color have come under attack and have been the ones who are most exploited within our food system over time.
Kana contends these divides cannot be bridged without first dismantling policies that put profits over people and the environment. Mary Sherman reporting.
Finally, Diane Bernard tells us remote learning during the pandemic has meant excessive screen time for kids, and a Maryland healthcare group is raising awareness to prevent too much exposure to potentially damaging blue light.
The light emitted from digital devices can cause serious retinal damage in children with long-term exposure. According to Scott Edmonds with United Healthcare, children's eyes are still developing and more blue light enters their retinas than adults' eyes. In addition to taking breaks, Edmonds suggests teaching kids to follow what he calls the 20/20 rule to protect their eyes.
Every 20 minutes, you should look off into the distance at something 20 feet or further for 20 seconds. Nothing's the chance of you're going to get myopia, get you away from the blue light.
About 64% of teachers think blue light protection would improve students' attention spans. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on some of the nation's most interesting radio stations and online at publicnewsservice.org.